Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. There are conflicting reports about the death of a U.S. Capitol officer. I'm trying to find the source here. The problem is you get news sources that cite other news sources, and so it's difficult oftentimes to figure out the original source. But this is from Fox News saying a U.S. Capitol Police officer died Thursday night after suffering injuries during Wednesday's rioting in Washington, police confirmed in a statement. The officer was identified as Brian Schrick, a member of the department's first responders unit, who joined the force in July of 2008. But then there's another story, and perhaps this is about a different officer. This is from Town Hall. And originally, officer dies from injuries following attack on Capitol, but then there was an update saying, let's see if this is a different officer. Okay, so this says Officer Sicknick was responding to riots. He was physically injured. There was another post saying that wasn't true. It wasn't sustained from the injury. So anyway, try to find out. As oftentimes is the case, as these stories develop, you've got different versions of the stories coming out. And again, this is part of the problem with having a motivated media. You don't know if you're dealing with genuine developing information or if there is an attempt to mislead people as to what's going on. Now, in the meantime, I mean, you just think about the number of officers that were killed during the riots, and it's just sort of like, well, that's their job. That's what they sign up for. You know, no big deal. Here's the latest news update. The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. A chance of flurries this afternoon with a high of 34, cloudy 24 tonight. Tomorrow, a high of 35 and partly sunny on Sunday with a high of 37. It's 28. So here's what, and this is an example of the world we live in and the country we live in today when it comes to the media. It really is so much like China. You know, there'll be a news story appear and then all of a sudden it disappears. And you don't know if it's because of, you know, it's not even like, oh, here's a correction. It just goes away. So is this because they've been told that's not the official line or what the deal is? But the original story on Town Hall was titled Capitol Police Deny CNN Report That Officer Died From Injuries. So this officer that died from injuries, I think it was Wednesday night or sometime Thursday, and CNN was reporting that the officer died of injuries. And then the Capitol Police, according to this story, came out and they said that is not true. This individual did not die from the injuries. But now, when you click on that, see, I have the, here's how I know this. Whenever there is, during the day, a story, I email it to myself. And when you email it to yourself, it also grabs the headline. And oftentimes the headline itself is in the website. So it's, you know, townhall.com/tipsheet/this/ Capitol Police Officer Dies Following Attack on Capitol. And the headline at the time of the story was Capitol Police Deny CNN Report That Officer Died From Injuries. And I skimmed through the story yesterday when it, came up and I saw a statement from the Capitol Police saying that was a false report. But now when I click on the link, it simply goes to a story, officer dies from injuries following attack on Capitol, which is the opposite of the story. Now, what's interesting is that the original story actually cited Capitol Police making that claim. There's no reference in this story. It's just cleansed completely. So it's not like, oh, well, Capitol Police were saying this, but there's new information. That information is totally and completely gone. Which, again, that's the sort of thing that happens in communist regimes, socialist countries. And so you don't know whether it was erroneous reporting. Generally speaking, what are we accustomed to? If it was just an erroneous report or if it was a report based on information at the time, it will say that there's some sort of update. It will say, well, you know, the story has changed. But instead, the history of the story is completely deleted. We're going to take a break, and then Tom Martz is going to join us this morning. We've got the latest traffic now. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Tom Martz joins us. We're both remote. I'm in the St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement Studios here off the, let's see, the south wing of my home. Where are you?
Well, I gave a hint on the Facebook Live feed, but here you go. Oh. I am in a city in Missouri, in central Missouri, that is nationally known, actually it's globally known, because on an annual basis it competes in the solar-powered panel car races. Where am I?
You know, I know of that, but I can't recall. So, central, I mean, I'm automatic. Matt, you know, you think Sedalia, you think Columbia.
It's along I-44.
Oh, it's along 44. Oh, Waynesville. No?
No,
is it not Waynesville? Which way? St. Roberts.
East. No, keep going.
Cuba?
Okay, now you're too far east.
Let's see, what's Missouri it? Dixon, St. Clair.
Missouri S&T College is there.
Oh, Rolla. Duh. Wow. That makes sense. Okay. I'm just going to hit every town from here to St. Louis. Now, I mean, that's so obvious that it's Rolla. I'm embarrassed.
They compete on an annual basis in the solar-powered paneled car vehicle races, and what I find interesting about their program, and I don't know if it's that way, because I know Crowder also used to compete too, but Rolla actually allows individuals to participate in this. So if you just everyday run-of-the-mill Joe off the road, you can actually apply for and start working and participating in building of the solar-powered paneled vehicle that they are going to use to participate in the annual race.
Very interesting. I was in a car accident in Rolla once. So there you go. That's my contribution.
It leaves a lasting memory, don't it?
Rolla conversation. Yeah, it wasn't my fault. I was heading down to, I've got part of my ancestry is from the Dent County area, and we used to have annual family reunions at Montauk State Park. And so I was heading down there for that and driving through Rolla, and some kid, I mean, I wasn't much more than a kid myself, but a kid younger than me tried to cross, and he tried to cross in front of me as I was heading south. And I mean, I had the clear right of way. It was like state highway, and I hit his back end hard enough that the spare tire that was bolted down went flying out, and but it was his fault. So anyway, there's my Rolla story for you. That's amazing.
That's very interesting.
Riveting and gripping. So one of the reasons that, well, I not only like to have you on the show, but I like talking with you and have a tremendous amount of respect for your thoughts on things is because you really are tethered only to whatever, like trying to find that truth. And it's not about being, it's not tethered to being loyal to a political party or to any sort of person, which you find, I know, pretty consistently makes you an enemy of everyone at some point. You know, if you see that Trump happens to be on the side of truth and you point the truth out, you know, you're just some Trumpster. If you are, you seek the truth and you find that maybe it's on the other side, then you are anti-American. But that doesn't bother you, and I think that's totally awesome. I like that because I feel, anyway, that's also my attempt is to bore down and get to the truth as well. And so I guess I feel a kindred spirit with you on that. All that being said, what do you think about all this?
Well, I'm loving today's headlines. As you scroll through the different news agencies, you've got the essence of there was a riot, there was an insurrection, there were there are now corporations, CEOs that are firing people that they have determined that were at the Trump rally.
Scary.
You've got pipe bombs being found, which, to my way of thinking, that's not a Trump rally thing. That's
right.
More of an Antifa BLM thing. And, of course, I'm faulting the Trump supporters, too, because their first essence is, well, it was Antifa and it was BLM.
Right, yeah.
Well, there were clearly Trump supporters there. That you can't, for a positive fact, tell me that there aren't Trump supporters
right.
that are so far deranged that they would do that. So I'm leaving that part open. But I have now gotten to the point, I was doing some research last night on why it is that some of these cases that Rudy Giuliani brought in front of the courts didn't go anywhere. I had to get off of Google in order to expand my research.
Yeah. Right.
And I determined after going to, I now use the one that James Clary uses, which is Echo Sia.
I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, ECOSIA.
I'm going to have to check it out. I use DuckDuckGo, but I'll have to check that out, Echo Sia.
See, I started using DuckDuckGo too, but then I found that what I was looking for wasn't in existence on them or what I was.
Okay.
What I was typing in was not registering what it is that I was trying to get towards. So what
Got
I figured
it.
Out is that if I am ever in trouble, I am not hiring Rudy Giuliani as the individual who is going to defend me in a court of law.
Okay.
Because on three separate occasions, Trump's legal team was asked to provide the essence from which it is that they believe that fraud existed in the election. And in all three of these cases that I started looking at, one in Wisconsin, one in Pennsylvania, and I think one in Michigan, they declined to use the verbiage fraud in their lawsuit, which at a later date they come back and say, well, there was fraud. Well, you can't do that the way the court system is designed. And what I also figured out is that every time that there is a law that is usurped by a elected official in some capacity that is not in the governing of laws or making laws, that be a judge or that be like a secretary of state, somebody better automatically challenge that law, because you will lose the application at a later date to say, well, this is what happened, because you won't have standing.
There have been in some instances, from what I understand, a bit of a catch-22, because there, I believe, have been instances in which there was going to be a beforehand approach, as you mentioned, but they're told, well, you don't have standing because there isn't an offense yet. And then
right.
once it happens, they say it's too late, that, you know,
right.
well, we're too far into it now. And so they create in the system this impossible scenario to where you have absolutely no recourse because it's either too early or too late.
This is one of the things that drives me nuts, and I know there's a couple people, Jared Taylor being one, and the gentleman from Lee's Summit are introducing legislation this year in the Missouri House, Dan Stacey, to make it so that in order for you to vote, you have to register yourself as a political party on your voter registration. So you're either going to be a Republican, you're going to be a Democrat, you're going to be an independent, you're going to be libertarian, you're going to be green, you're going to be Constitutional Party. Then when you go to the polls, especially during the primary season, you are handed the ballot that you are represented by on your voter registration.
And for people that don't know, that's done in a number of states, which is how it is that leading up to during all the early voting, they were able to talk about the level of early voting by party. You would hear in Florida, for example,
Correct.
That, oh, yeah. And that's how they're able to track. Now, in Missouri, they wouldn't be able to track that because, which is the point of what we're talking about here, we don't do that here currently.
Yeah, and if you actually go back and you look at elections from way back then, there was no primary system. Elections
right.
are specifically designed so you are voting for an individual who is going to be your representative while they serve their term in government. You did not go and vote for an individual who's going to represent a party who is then going to run at a later date against another individual from another party.
Yeah.
So that person will be determined to be your representative. If we get rid of the primary system off of every single state ballot, most of this is solved. Because the essence of the court system was, well, these rule changes were implemented before the primary system. You should have challenged it then. Well, you can't challenge it then because you're not voting for Republican Democrat. You're voting for Democrat, or you're voting Republican, or you're voting Libertarian. So you don't have standing. And this was the essence of some of these court challenges. You as an individual do not have standing to bring this suit during the primary election. You can only bring it after the election where you're choosing your elected representative. But then their fallback is, well, why didn't you bring it prior? So you are. You're in a catch-22 situation that the black robes have created. So you keep running in circles, and you can't do anything.
I want to go back, because I know it's not the primary point of the conversation, but I just find interesting the idea of eliminating the primary. And this is conceptually new territory for a lot of people. People think that a primary, you're voting for office, and that's not what happening, as you explain here. And for people that don't know what he's talking about, when you vote in the primary, you are essentially assisting the party in determining what candidate they are going to allow run under their banner, because the parties are these private entities, and you can't just run under a party banner without their permission. Just like you can't go, represent yourself as a representative of a company that you don't actually work for. That's not something that you can do. And so the parties have decided that's how they are going to determine who gets to run under their banner. So Republicans, you've got a congressional race, and all right, who are we going to allow to run as a Republican under our banner? We're going to let the people vote on that. So if we get rid of the primary, how is it that it would be determined who runs under each party label?
Well, what happens now is you've got a whole bunch of couch potatoes who will use the primary ballot system to manipulate the political party into having this candidate or that candidate. They want nothing to do with the party at all in its structure and how it functions until they go vote for it. Christian County, several years ago, each area has what's called a committee. There is like the Christian County Republican Central Committee. There should also be the Christian County Democrat Central Committee. Those people get elected to those positions. They formulate how it is that the party is going to be run in Christian County with the help of the Central Committee at the state level. It requires people to actually be involved in the process.
Right.
What they attempted to do in Christian County was to prohibit Ray Weider from using the Republican Party's ballot status to run as a Republican because he clearly does not have the ideology of a Republican based on the party platform.
And for people that would say, well, why would he run that way? Well, and just so people, they say, well, then why would he run as a Republican? Well, in that area, you don't win unless you run as a Republican. So if you're a Democrat, you want to get in, you claim you're a Republican. And what they were trying to do is prevent that from happening.
Yeah, and the way it is now, when the ballots are open, I can drive up to Jeff City. I can plunk down $25 to whether it's going to be a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Constitution Party, and the party will gladly accept my money. And then I will automatically go on the ballot with whatever political party affiliation that I paid money towards in order to have my name placed on the ballot.
So is your contention, and I think I know the answer to this, that, if there wasn't a primary in which the voters made that decision, that central committees would make the decision, all right,
this correct.
Is the different people would come, they'd audition, if you will, say, here's why I want to be, and then they'd say, all right, you're the one who we're going to allow to run under the Republican banner or the Democrat banner or whatever.
Yeah, it would be like a caucus system where, yeah. You know, you get up, you interview, you explain to the people on the committee why it is that you believe that you're the best representative to represent the political party, and then they would submit your name, and your name would go on the ballot, and then the other parties would do the same identical thing. So when you go and vote, you're not choosing a person to represent a political party. You're choosing the person who you desire to go to Jefferson City or to go to the city hall or wherever it is to represent you as an individual.
Tom Arts with us this morning. We got to run in a little bit late here, but Sarah, I know we've got the break. We'll just take it straight into the traffic report and roll on through until we hit the news, and we'll continue on then with Tom Arts this morning. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. TurnersRockLiving.com. I encourage you to visit the site or visit Turner's Rock. It is off Sunshine and 65, just to the east of the intersection there. Getaway Golf, it's next to it. It's an incredible senior living community, unlike any sort of senior living community that you probably have ever seen before. It's frankly, I'd move there if I were fit the requirements. I mean, it's just a really great place. It has 1, 2, 3 bedroom luxury apartments with 1, 2, 3 bathrooms, respectively, 10 to 12 foot high ceilings. You have on-site maintenance that's taken care of. You don't have to hire maintenance. So you have, a light bulb go off of your 12-foot high ceiling. You don't have to worry about it. You just give a call up to the front desk, and they'll send someone to take care of it. Housekeeping is covered. Your meals are covered. And we're not talking about cafeteria or somebody rolling in a cart and bringing you your food on a tray. We're talking about a restaurant in the building with servers, with a host or hostess, or if you're just looking maybe for not an entire meal, but just a little snack, a bistro, or go to the rooftop pub, which is half indoor, outdoor, before you go to see a movie in the movie theater on site. Maybe during the summer you want to go to the resort style pool that they have there, get your hair and nails done in the salon. All of this is on site at Turner's Rock. It's an incredible place. I recommend you stop by and visit. And you can do so online, of course, turnersrockliving.com, or stop by their welcome center and tell them you'd like to have a tour. It's turnersrockliving.com. Here's the latest news update. KTTS First Alert forecast. Chance of flurries this afternoon, a high of 34, cloudy 24 for a low tonight, a high of 35 tomorrow on Sunday, partly sunny 37 for the high. It's 28. And Tom Arts is with us this morning. We were talking about all the lawsuits and everything, and I'm not sure if you had anything else to say on that. I know I really opened it up with you in terms of saying, what do you think about all this that's going on? There's just such insanity, and in part of the insanity that I feel, that I imagine you feel as well, is that sometimes I think, am I the only one that's just interested in the truth here? And I know a lot of our listeners are. I mean, that's why they listen to this. But when the media is so uninterested in actually the truth at this point, that when it comes to going to a place that one normally would go in order to find out what's going on, because that doesn't exist, it creates such a sense of isolation for what I would say are normal people that simply want the truth.
I think part of the problem we have is neither side actually wants to admit what the truth is. Because as soon as you make a basis on why it is that something occurred because of, let's say it's in opposition to something that Trump does, you automatically get hammered on by the right and people who are Trump supporters, and you get applauded by people who are on the left. And then when you do the exact opposite, well, now all of a sudden you're a great and loyal Trump supporter, I should say, and the left hammers you for being what they call a Trumpkin, a Trump-tard. There's no basis by which anyone who is dead center down the middle can function properly without getting hammered on both sides. And now I'm being called a domestic terrorist. You know, I think the Southern Poverty Law Center actually made me a domestic terrorist first.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
If you read how it is that the Southern Poverty Law Center came to the basis of what a domestic terrorist is, I met many of those. So for people right now to call me a domestic terrorist, I use that as a chip on my shoulder.
You know, the Southern this is a bit off the beaten path, but with the assignment of blame to Trump for the riots, Southern Law, I don't know, a lot of people won't recall this, but there was an incident several years ago in which an individual with bags of Chick-fil-A went to, it was like a pro-family or Christian organization with a gun and bags of Chick-fil-A with the intent on killing all of the people involved or that were working there that day. And he ended up in a shootout with a security guard. And I think the security guard was killed in that. And whenever he was eventually apprehended and arrested, he said that, well, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I found on their list, they claimed that this was a hate group, and so I was going to take him out. Yet the Southern Poverty Law Center never got credit for that killing. It's very interesting.
Yeah, because there's no consistency in how things are reported, and you can see that today versus how things were reported 6 months ago when Portland was burning to the ground or Kenosha, Wisconsin was burning to the ground. But back then, rioting was cool. Protesting was cool. You know, you could see a reporter on the news talking about a peaceful protest while a Wendy's was burning in the background. Now I've seen the footage of where there was actual people. I'm not too sure where they were at in Washington, D.C., but you could tell it was sort of like a prayer vigil. You don't hear anything about the prayer vigil in Washington, D.C. All you see is the footage of people trying to get into the building. And I've actually got to watch the video of whoever it was inside the Capitol building who killed the Air Force veteran who was on the outside mm-hmm. of the building. And there's no moral outrage about security or an agent right. of the government killing a white woman.
Which is so funny. Well, it's not funny, but at the same time, you have not just that nutcase Cori Bush from the newly elected congresswoman from St. Louis who was allowed without challenge to claim on TV that, you know, if this was Black Lives Matter, someone would have been shot, which there was a white veteran. But then Joe Biden actually goes out and says, you know, well, he accused the police of being easy on the protesters and said the same thing that Cori Bush said, essentially, that if this had been Black Lives Matter, they would have been much rougher on him. It's like they just totally rewrite it's not even history. It's just recent events like, she's white. She doesn't count that she gets killed. Like, what are you talking about? They killed someone that, by all accounts, wasn't even armed, wasn't even attacking anyone. Now, there may be, you know, we haven't heard their reason for it. There's an investigation. And what you and I do, which is what the left never does, is we tend to want to wait until we at least hear the explanation and weigh that and see if there's information that, you know, maybe we aren't aware of. But they're acting like she never even existed. Never existed.
You also have a bunch of, I'm going to call them spineless Republicans right now, who are, instead of, you know, standing up and do what it is that the Democrats did back during Kenosha and Minneapolis and Portland and all those places, they're also pointing the fingers at Trump. I mean, Trump is not a perfect person by any means.
Right.
Trump has as many faults as anyone else does. But if you can sit through from, I don't know when George Floyd was killed. What was that, March? So you can go February, March, whenever that was, till now, and listen to all the Democrats talk about how it is that we need to protest in the streets, we need to burn down buildings, we need to do this.
No justice, no peace.
Right. And now all of a sudden, Trump basically, I don't remember exactly how it is that the event known as January 6th occurred, whether that was invited or whether that was just a kind of the people got together and said, hey, let's go do this. But now all fingers point at Trump, both from the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. He's the one that created this insurrection. No, the fact that you all have been ignoring the Constitution for decades has now created what you all call insurrection.
Well, and I tell you what else is
this country was ever founded.
Right. Well, and I tell you another thing, and I've heard both Republicans and Democrats referencing the recent events as this is not how you get things done. This is not how you accomplish things. Well, the problem is, over the past year, it is how the left has gotten things accomplished. Why is it that city after city run by Democrats in this country have defunded police? Because that's what the rioters demanded. They rioted. They got what they wanted. Why is it that Confederate flags are removed all over this country? It's because people rioted and demanded that that happen. Why is it that names of founders have been taken off buildings? Why is it that monuments all over this country have been taken down? It's because rioters rioted and they demanded it happen, and it happened. Now all of a sudden you're saying that's not how you get things done. You have demonstrated over the past year that's exactly how you get things done in this country. But then you blame Trump.
Yeah, but we've gotten to a point in not only in media, and I guess this goes way back. I don't consider anything a conspiracy anymore. I don't think I've ever have. The fact that all the information has not been released is when people say, well, that's a conspiracy theory, that makes me start digging deeper on why it is that it isn't one.
Well, I tell you, before we go to the break here, a final point about the total and complete inconsistencies and hypocrisy in how they report this stuff is there is a suburb of Portland. Population's around 48,000. Tigard or Tigard, it's T-I-G-A-R-D. And I think it was yesterday, there was, you know, officers, and I think it was a domestic dispute call, and they tried to arrest the guy, African-American. He came at him with a knife. They had to shoot him deadly force. There had been riots going on overnight in this suburb outside of Portland. Buildings have been broken into, glass has been broken, graffiti, police are being attacked, but you don't hear anything. You don't even know what's happening. You have absolutely no clue. Why? Well, because it's anti-police. And so the outrage of the Democrat Party and the media about riots occurring and this isn't how you get things done. They are silent when it comes to those riots that have been occurring in Portland, which are thus far doing much more damage than happened in the U.S. Capitol. But they are fine with, and they promote violence and riots if it is against police, if it is against, if it's going to help them politically. But then they use it in order to try and silence and blame conservatives or Trump supporters when it comes to their advantage in that aspect as well. We've got Tom Arts with us. Here's a traffic update on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. We've got Tom Arts with us this morning as I broadcast. Well, he broadcasts from Rolla, and I'm broadcasting from the southern wing of my home in the St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement Studios. Just from a, well, I don't want to say entertainment standpoint because that can mischaracterize it. I enjoy evaluating and observing at this point Josh Hawley as an elected official. Now, we used to have Josh Hawley on before he was running for attorney general, though I'm sure in his mind he was planning on it when he was working on the Hobby Lobby case, and he was in studio quite often, and we got along very well. He ran, of course, he won that and then won in the U.S. Senate. I've been extremely, extremely critical of him on certain legislative agendas, even comparing some of it to AOC-style government rule. But, you know, watching him now, he's like one of the only ones that is refusing to back down. He refuses to apologize, as he should, rightfully so, for demanding some sort of evaluation of the elections. Now, while I might diplomatically characterize it as interesting contradictions, some would say, well, it's all politics because he's planning on running for, you know, perhaps president one day. And he's been cited as someone that may do that. All that being said, he has become an interesting one to watch, in my opinion.
Well, I can't forgive him because here in the state of Missouri, his first action as attorney general was in violation of the Constitution and state law. And then he just basically shrugged that off. But, yeah, I'll give him.
Which one was that?
He does something right. Yeah. Where when he was living in Columbia.
Oh, you're right. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
And basically the law said you have to reside at the seat of government. Well, where was the where was the definition of the seat of government? That was in the
Jeff
Constitution.
Yeah.
So as a constitutional attorney, he thumbs his nose at the Constitution and says, well, that doesn't pertain to me. Well, yes, it does. Don't tell me it doesn't pertain to you. You're the lead law official of the state now. The law pertains to you, as does the Constitution. But I'll give him kudos on what he's doing in D.C.
Yeah,
you know, he is one of the few that someone inserted a backbone into the guy, and he said, "Look, we're not going to tolerate this. This is not the way it's supposed to work. This is not the way it's supposed to happen." But I don't see, and this is the fault of the media, and this is also the fault of the Republican Party, I do not see nor hear the people in the case that, hey, you know, Democrats have been doing this since the year 2000 when Bush defeated Gore.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything different than what hasn't already been done in this chamber. But either they can't get the message out, or they are very lackluster in getting that information out. So they're comparing apples to apples
in
how this all functions. Now,
right.
Go
ahead. I want you to finish your point.
I've heard you do it. I've heard some other radio shows do it. But I don't see a lot of reporting on this happened in 2000. This happened in 2008. This happened then. This happened in 2016. None of that is done, and I fault the media because they're so far into the pockets of the Democratic Party and the DNC, it's not even funny, and you can't trust a word they print or even say on the news anymore.
Yeah, I was watching. I was at yesterday, I stopped into a local establishment to pick up something to go. And they had on the TV, it was ABC News and George Stephanopoulos. I mean, just the people that they're interviewing, Rahm Emanuel as an expert. I'm just like, I mean, here you've got a former Obama official. You got a former Clinton official. I mean, these people, they run the news and they're talking about, now this was before the Capitol aspect of things, but it was just the Trump speech, and they were just, you know, really perplexed. And I think it was Rahm Emanuel saying, you know, you just really have to wonder what it is that goes on in the minds of these people that can't accept the outcome of the election. And I'm like, you spent 4 years claiming Russia stole the last election. And they are so absolutely dishonest that they can immediately flip a switch and claim anyone who might question an election has somehow got something wrong with them. And they're almost cult-like in their following, and they're just in such denial of reality. Part of the other problem here, and you mentioned, you know, you hear some pointed out, you may have some, you have a Republican here or there point out the inconsistencies and call out the fact that Democrats this century, every election they lose on a presidential level, do this same thing. And, of course, the media isn't going to give them much coverage. But the problem is the vast majority of Republicans, they're afraid that they'll be treated poorly. They're afraid that they'll be treated like Josh Hawley. And so they essentially just quietly back into the shadows, which helps establish the message that the left is establishing, that there's just a few kooks who believe this. And, unfortunately, they become allies with the left in painting anyone who has concerns about the election as just being some sort of nut job.
Well, you know, here's the crux of, was it Corey Bush from St. Louis? This woman has no clue of what is contained in the Constitution in those applications of which she disagrees with, like the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and all those other things. But suddenly, she finds the 14th Amendment, which deals with anyone who participates in insurrection or rebellion against the United States. So what the Democrats have been doing since year 2000 in protesting every time the Republicans win is now determined, because Republicans are doing it, to be insurrection and rebellion.
I know. And unfortunately, some of the establishment Republicans are helping them make that case publicly. Tom Martz, we're out of time. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Enjoy Rolla today.
Have a good day, man.
All right, you too. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. We got news coming up in 30 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.